In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear him. We call ourselves Christians, so we would do wise to heed the word of Christ. For the word of Christ is not simply the word of a great prophet or even an angel. He is not only truthful, wise, and almighty, but he is the truth, the wisdom, and the almighty God. And so his face shone like the sun, for this man is God. His divinity is not transfigured, but his humanity is shown to be personally united with that divine nature. He doesn't remove his humanity or pull it back so we see his divinity, but every strand of his hair, every drop of blood, every cell in his body, every molecule in his body shines with the brilliance of God, for this man is God. So listen to him. He knows very well what and how to speak, and he can accomplish what he says. But Peter interrupted that heavenly conversation. And so the Father interrupted Peter while he was speaking. And the disciples drop face down to the ground. They see dust, nothing but dirt. Now they must listen. They saw that Jesus is God, but they did not understand what all of this meant. They were not listening to that heavenly conversation between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, and so they failed to understand where Christ's glory was found and why this man is God. He is God so that he might head to a cross. Our eyes claim to be king of all, never wrong, never mistaken. I know what I saw, we've all said. And now we see a man with no beauty or majesty, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Now we see a man standing before Pilate, silent, his back torn open from the scourge, his head crowned with thorns. We see him bleeding, suffering, hanging on that cross, dying. And now we see at this transfiguration the glory of this God. And we like it. So like Peter, James, and John, we want to put off and delay the cross ever so slightly because we want to stay here in this glory. We know the cross is important, but we'd much rather see him like this than bleeding, suffering, and dying. We want to see this power, this honor, this majesty of God. At best, we've seen his cross leading to his glory. At worst, we've seen the cross as an interruption of his glory. A necessary thing to win our salvation, but now something that we can leave in the past, something that has little relevance for us to speak about today. And so many churches do just that. They see with their eyes, but they fail to listen to what Christ, Elijah, and Moses were speaking about. So they see, but they do not understand what they see. So the Father speaks, and we drop face down to the ground. Our faces planted in the dust. Now we see things rightly. There is no confusion there as we stare at dust. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. All men live, and all men will die and be buried. So stare at the earth, and you know exactly what you are. Stare at that dust, and you know exactly why you can't stand in the presence of this transfigured Christ forever. At least not here on this earth. For you are dust, a sinner. And there is nothing that makes you worthy in and of yourself that you should enjoy this vision from God. So God speaks, so we rightly see what we are. God speaks, and Adam panics, scurrying around the garden trying to find a place to hide. God speaks, and Israel begs God on Mount Sinai to be quiet. God speaks, and David condemns himself as the reprobate. God speaks, and these three disciples drop face down to the ground, dust. Sinners, this is what we are. We have nothing in and of ourselves to see this beautiful vision of Christ. For we too are also too busy trusting what we see that we fail to hear that heavenly conversation between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. So God drops us to the ground, faces planted in the dust. Hear him, he says. For the words that Christ speak are words filled with power and life. He speaks to us and reaches out his hand to touch us. Arise, do not fear, he says. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the eternal God, the radiance of the Father's glory, the brilliance of God, shines with all that brightness and glory as he hangs in the darkness of Good Friday. His word tells the eyes what to see. His word gives understanding to our sight. For our eyes see only nails. But the word says that those nails have inscribed our name on the palm of Jesus' hand. Our eyes see only blood. But the word says that blood has made purification and redemption and atonement for all our sins. The curse is gone. Death is gone. We are saved. The eyes see only pain and suffering, but the word says this is his glory, honor, power. This is the love of God for you. The eyes see a crown of thorns, a man who has lost the battle. But the word says that this man is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, who destroys Satan's head, who destroys Satan, who is pleasing to the Father and whose kingdom will never end. Our eyes see a man who is dead. But the word says this dead man is our God, who died in your place and destroyed death for you, so you might have life everlasting. Listen to him so that you know what you are looking at. This is what Moses and Elijah were speaking about. St. Matthew doesn't record the conversation, but St. Luke actually does. He said that they were talking about Jesus' exodus to Jerusalem. They were speaking about the beatings and the floggings, the mockings and the ridicule, the thorn and the nails, the blood and the sweat. They were speaking about the death and resurrection of Christ with joy and gladness. For they see that the glory of God is not found on this mountain, but found on Mount Calvary. We like joy. We want happiness. We want that glory of God and to bask in it for all eternity. But we cannot forget that we can't have that glory apart from the cross. But more, the cross doesn't just simply lead to glory, but the cross is God's glory. Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, Jesus said during Holy Week. For when he is lifted up, he draws all nations to himself, not when he is transfigured, but when he is lifted up. Now the heart of God is clearly seen by all the world. Now the love of God flows forth. Now the glory of God is seen by all. Now forgiveness flows to all creation. So listen to Christ so that you understand what you see. For he whose delicate hands crafted Adam reaches out a water-filled hand to touch your head. You are forgiven, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised with Christ through the same. He who spoke life into Adam's dusty body breathes the spirit of life into you by his word. He who stretched out his arms on that wooden tree now stretches out his arm to touch your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. The eyes see only water, a minister, bread and wine. But the word says that this is where we find our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the glory of God, for these means of grace bring that glorious cross to us in the forgiveness of sins. So we fall face down, staring at the dust, for this is what we are. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But he reaches out to touch us and raise us up to a new and glorious life. The old is gone, the new has come. We see dusty bodies, but he says that these bodies are immortal and will live with him forever. We see a sinner, but he says he forgives us all of our sins. We are children of God and heirs of heaven, co-heirs with Christ in his glory. We see a body riddled with weakness and disease and frailty and limitations and shortcomings. But he speaks, and he says we are spiritual, immortal, holy, and powerful. For what we see is not what we will be forever. But at the resurrection, we will be changed, transformed to be like his glorious body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, the perishable will clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal will put on immortality, and we will be changed. And then you will see this transfigured Lord in all of his brightness and glory, far greater glory than what these three disciples saw. And you will see it forever. That is what his word says to you. So listen to him. Hear his voice, because his word instructs your eyes on what to see and how to understand. A glorious Lord, the light of all nations, brilliantly shining on that day we call good, Good Friday. Because it is a good thing that our God would die in our place, because now we have life. And now comes the third day, the day of resurrection, the day when Christ rises in his glory. And soon will come the resurrection of all of the dead on the last day. And then we shall know, even as we are fully known. So listen to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.